God is good, amen. Praise the Lord. First service of 2019. Hallelujah. I mean, do you realize 2019 means that next year is 2020? Doesn't that sound like futuristic and stuff? I mean, doesn't that sound like when you were a kid, not if you're a kid now, but when you were a kid, if you're in a place where you think when I was a kid, then you qualify for this. But when you were a kid, you remember thinking about something like 2020 and thinking, man, that's so far off in the future. That's like crazy far. We're at it. We're at the doorsteps of 2020. I'm not trying to get us through 2019 too quickly, but I'm just saying we're there, man. We have arrived. Glory to God. We're in one piece. Praise the Lord. Nobody came in here in two pieces. We're here one piece. We're ready to go. It's a good time to be alive. Amen. Man, oh man, God is doing great things. He's doing wonderful things. And in case, you know, there's people that argue whether or not Jesus is actually coming back soon or not. Well, I can just tell you this. I've done a little research lately and I found out something. I found out that the earth can only hold so much. You know why they're out there trying to find other places that are habitable? Because they understand, no, this is a serious thing. Like, the earth can only hold so much. Like, if you look at the amount that people have been added to the planet, for thousands of years it was like this. Then all of a sudden, because when you start increasing numbers increase, right? And so now when you have 1 billion people multiply, it's a lot different than when you have 1 million people multiply. And the number really is shot up like that. And the reason I'm bringing all this up, I don't know, maybe it's just fun, maybe, but there's truth to it. But they understand that the earth can only, do you know in China, there is a limit on how many children you're allowed to have. And the reason is because they're too overpopulated. Praise the Lord. Not that they're overpopulated. Praise God because he's good. Hallelujah. But the thing is this is happening all around the world. Amen. When you have billions of people multiplying, and now we're at like in the 7 billion range or 8 billion range or something like that. That's a lot of stinking people, man. That's no pun intended. Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of people, you know, so praise God. Hallelujah. So the earth can only hold so much. What do I mean by saying all this? I mean, they ain't going to get a planet to inhabit before we overpopulate this place. I'm not telling you that to scare you, but Jesus, see, God had a plan. God knows what's going on. And Jesus is coming back soon, praise the Lord. Doesn't mean he'll be back tomorrow. He might be, I don't know, but I doubt it. But he's probably not going to be back tomorrow, but he's coming soon. And we need to be ready for him, amen. We need to understand that there's more to life than just waking up every day and going to work or doing whatever we do, amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you're stirred and excited for the new year. You know, I said this in Corey last night, and I'll say it again here. You know, so often we look at life. We look at it as far as years. You know, this year was good, or this year was bad, or the month was bad, or whatever. Going through a period of time, but you know, really, when you've passed on, when you move on to the next life, you know, if anybody thinks about you, they don't usually think about, you know, you had a bad year in 2017 or 2018. They think that, you know, they'll think of it in terms of your life, you know what I mean? And the reason that I say that is because it is important for us to consider, you know, our lives and the fact that if we're not where we want to be, that doesn't mean we're always going to be there. We have to look at it like from the grand scope, like where God looks at it. And yes, there's seasons, and seasons are good, but we can't just do in the season. You know, if a farmer just dwelled in the season of planting, was like, oh, I just want the harvest, and just sat down and cried about wanting the harvest all the time, he'd never get to the harvest. And so that's why so many Christians never get to the harvest that God has for them, is because they're in a season they don't want to be in, and instead of using faith, instead of standing strong, they just start complaining about it. They start doing what Christians are not meant to do, amen? And we don't want to be those people, praise the Lord. Turn with me to Habakkuk, praise God, hallelujah. We're going to start there. It's a good, you know, this is just, we have go-to scriptures, like I said, Habakkuk 2:1. We have go-to scriptures that, you know, we have some for tithes and we got some for, you know, healing. We have different go-to scriptures, praise the Lord. Well, this is a go-to scripture for writing the vision. And that's what the service, you know, I didn't do this last year and I got rebuked by the Lord for it. Because, and we're going to see why, but it's important for us to write the vision for the year. It's important for us to understand what God, we have to go into life with purpose, amen? We don't want to go into a new year. Listen, if you came out of 2018 and you had a rough year, you know, 2019 can be better. Yeah. So let's make it better. And of course, we know that it can be better by our decisions, by what we choose, praise the Lord. And I believe that you'll choose it. Amen? And so this is one of our go-to scriptures. And that's why I believe the Lord has brought it up to me. And we're going to get into it now. Amen? Habakkuk 2:1 says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. And so we understand this through study of the Word. We understand that he's talking about prayer. The way a person, a man, a woman of God, the way that they watch is in prayer. That you spend time in prayer, that you seek the Lord, amen? And of course, it's made clear here when he says, I'll watch to see what he will say to me, amen? The Lord is waiting to say things to us all the time. He's waiting to give us direction. God loves to give us direction, amen? In fact, I'm going to, I guess I went here last night too, but I'm just going to do it again. Turn with me to James. Keep your finger there. And go to James 1. Praise the Lord. James 1, start in verse 5, glory to God. God loves to tell us things. He wants us to know, but it's important that we believe that. It matters that we believe that, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. By the way, I was just joking about Catholics going to church at 6 in the morning. I don't know if they really do or not. I know that they have, you know, service times. They're all over the place. So, but they you know, praise God. I don't know why that just came to me and I wanted to correct that. So just so nobody got offended. Amen. Praise the Lord. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God gives to all men liberally and without reproach those who dare ask God for something, because that's what he loves to do. How many parents we got in here? We got to raise our hands. Got a few parents, all right? Do you love to give to your kids? Did it bring you, maybe you have kids that are older or whatever, but does it bring you joy to bless your kids? How much more do you think our Heavenly Father loves to give to us? Especially when he's given us a book of wisdom, and he says, ask me for more wisdom. I want to give it to you. He's given us a whole book for us to know. You know, the Lord has been dealing with me so much lately about knowing truth and knowing what he wants to do and knowing what he's done and understanding what his will is. It's important to God. Amen. He wants us to know things. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone that doesn't think God wants us to know? God wants us to know. That's why he gave us Jesus. That's why he put the Holy Ghost on the inside of us so we would know. We're going to get there, but John 16:13 tells us the Holy Ghost, his job is to reveal things to us. Hallelujah. He put one third of him in us to reveal things to us. Then he put the other third. You know what he did with the other third? He wrote it in a book, because Jesus is the Word. So we have one third of heaven speaking to us, which is God. He's the one that gives us direction. We got one third of heaven written, and then we got the other third of heaven living on the inside of us, telling us what he's speaking and what's written. Hallelujah. Look, God wants us to know, amen? He's playing all of everything around letting us know, amen? Well, praise God, I don't know, that's good for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He goes, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So if you doubt, that's what you're like. Just driven and tossed by the wind. There's no stability in your life. Amen? For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now, when we talk about verses that are talking about, that say men, and we're telling you women that they refer to you too, this verse refers to you too. Let not that woman suppose that she will receive anything from the Lord if you're driven and tossed by the wind. If you're it goes on to say, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That word double-minded means literally of two minds, you know, like of two different, what's the word? I have it written down. Oh, divided interest. That's what I wanted. It's a divided interest. You have interest in God, but interest in the world. You know, you're back and forth, and that's what you're like. See, that's what it's like for people that don't believe. Go back to Habakkuk. So we have to understand that God wants us to know. It's his desire that we know. God is not hiding things from us. In fact, you know, there's one thing about religion over the years that it's done is that some in some religious circles, they've hidden the truth from their people. Listen, that's plain evil. That's of the devil. Praise God. It's the truth. Because God wants us to know. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Hallelujah. So we understand that God will correct us. Amen. And then I love this. In verse 2, it goes immediately to, then the Lord answered me and said. See, he knew the Lord would answer. And what happened? The Lord answered. Do you know when you go to God, do you know that God's going to answer you? You know, as I was in prayer there, I didn't really know what it was for. One of the first thing that kept stopping me. This morning, I was praying. I was seeking God, and I wasn't seeking him for anything other than his presence. I just like, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just seeking that out. I want to know God more, so intimately and just so much. And so this is like the kind of the thing in my life. This is what I'm after. People are after a lot of things. That's what I'm after, is to know God. I just want to know him more. Praise the Lord. But I got an image in my spirit of a bucket going down into a well. Amen. And then it was filling up with water and bringing it back out. You know, and of course, there's scriptural principle there that when you draw out of the deep, that deep calls into deep, and that you draw out of the deep well. Amen. And where our spirit is likened to a deep well, and that's where the Holy Ghost is. And then we are told to draw out from that spirit. Amen. And so, of course, that's what they, but that came back up to me as I was standing up here praying and then ministered to some people. But you know, that's where we draw out the direction and the plan of God. And actually, as I say it, that's the revelation that's coming to me. The knowledge of what God was showing me is that I was drawing out of my spirit. He's drawing those things out of my spirit to minister to these different people. Amen. Because God has a plan. He has a purpose. He wants us to get it, but we have to draw it out. You don't get the water unless you draw it out. Amen. You don't get the Holy Ghost is likened to rivers of living water. The Bible says out of your spirit will flow rivers of living water. Amen. And so that's what that is all about. Those things are all connected. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It goes on to say, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Praise the Lord. Now, it's very important to understand that we write with our mouths, amen? Psalm 45, verse 1 says that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer, hallelujah. And, you know, you hear me pray that often. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer, ready to write on the hearts of the people. What am I saying? I'm saying that as I'm drawing out of the Spirit, that I'm writing the Word of God with my mouth. And it's being written on the hearts of people. It's being engraved into your hearts so that the word goes out and it's implanted and then it does something in you. So it changes. That's what that prayer is all about. Amen. And so we understand that he's talking literally about writing. But I saw this. The Lord showed me this. And he said to me, we write our future with our words today. With what we say today, how we talk about the day. You know, Reverend, I mentioned this last night as well, but how Reverend Greer said that what you have today is a result of what you've been saying. Amen. And of course, we know about that. You know, Jesus talked about that, Mark 11, 23 and 24, about what we say and the importance of what we say and how we'll get what we say. Praise the Lord, and sometime I'll share with you more revelation on that God has given me. But you know, there's so many truths to this stuff. It's important of how we look at things, how we see God, how we understand God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Going on, I might as well share this too, because I'll get back to that in a second here. Praise God, and make it plain on tablets. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. So what's the purpose of casting vision? The purpose of casting vision is so that the people who didn't get the vision can run with it. Yeah. Amen? See, God desires that we're all running in the same direction, that we're all going after the same thing. That's why he made us a body. Amen? How many know in a race? Is there any runners in here? Praise the Lord. We got a few runners. Hallelujah. So if you got a runner, the runners can tell you that they know one thing, that when they're running, that everything that's with them goes with them. Amen? And so how many know that it's a lot harder for somebody who weighs 400 pounds to run than it is for somebody who weighs 100 pounds? Why? Because they're carrying a lot more with them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it to be mean. It's the truth. We know that. Amen. Praise the Lord. As I get bigger, I move slower. Hallelujah. It's just the way that it is. That's why I'm trying to go back the other way, because I got a race to run. Amen. And I need to run with it. But praise God. So, you know, but the body of Christ is the same way. We may not be the feet specifically in the body, but we're part of the body. And so whoever's running, we need to go with them. Amen. Can you imagine how weird it would look if you have a race and the runners left body parts behind as they were running? People wouldn't want to be a part of that race, would they? Can you see that? Guys running down the street, you know, they always wear those skimpy clothes, you know, like the real tight clothes. So you can see everything, right, as they're running. Praise the Lord. Because that's really important as you're running, to be able to show everybody everything. Praise the Lord as you're running. Well, glory to God. I don't know why they do it. I'm not arguing. I'm just making an observation. But can you imagine as you're running, all of a sudden the guy's arm just poof, falls off in the hand. Boom. Praise the Lord. It would be weird, wouldn't it? Yeah. Glory to God. Wow. It's the same thing in the body of Christ. It's just as weird when the body of Christ don't run together. When somebody in the body of Christ is like, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be part of that. Praise the Lord. We need to be encouraged. We need to be stirred to run with what God has called us to do. Amen. And God's calling us to do things all the time. You know, my wife was mentioning about the Corey Church. You know, some people are disconnected to that. And we shouldn't be disconnected to it. What do I mean by that? It's like we are part of that church. Now, we may not go there and get our feeding, all of us or whatever, but the truth is we're all still part of it because it's what God has called us to do. And anything else that God has called us to do, if we go out into the mission field, if we, we sow here, or we plant here, all these things, we're called to do that together as a body. Amen? Praise the Lord. But then look at what it says here. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And again, what this means is that, you know, it's for an appointed time. So until that time, it's not going to come to pass. You know, Jesus told the disciples to go wait for the day of Pentecost. How many know that there was an appointed time for Pentecost? It was going to happen. After that, though, we could all step into it. But see, yeah, there was an appointed time for it. And what he's saying is when it's time, it's time. It's going to happen, whether you're ready or not. So get yourself ready. That's why we vision cast. That's why we tell what the Lord is saying for the year, what God wants to do, because we need to get ready for what's coming. And there's some good stuff coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. What was today's message? Oh, I didn't bring it up, did I? Hallelujah. Caleb, what did I say it was? You remember? There you are. You don't remember what it was? Praise the Lord. Something about springing forth or something like that, wasn't it? Springing forth or springing forward. The name of the message don't matter as much, but praise God. I just gave it to that last second just to give it something. Amen. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Come on, people. Wait for it. We got to be, you know, that word wait for it doesn't mean just like, no, your expectation. You're waiting for it. Amen. What do you, any football fans in here? I know we got at least one. Hallelujah. We got a few. Praise the Lord, my brother Scott. Okay, we got some football fans here. When the game's getting really good, what are you doing? You're sitting on the edge of your seat. I know, because I've watched these people, not these people, but I've watched people do it before. You know, they're sitting on the edge of their seat, and they're waiting for it. They're waiting for it. They're waiting for it. They even get up and they start. This is the way we need to be about the things of God. What? My zipper's not down. Okay. Well, I'm doing good. Okay. Because when you do moves like that, you watch your zipper up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, we're waiting for it. We're on the edge of our seats. We're like, the vision is coming to pass. God's going to do something. He's doing something amazing. We got to give. Woo! You know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. That's what waiting for it is. That's what those words mean. See, that's what the Hebrew word for wait is literally. Woo! Hallelujah. Now, don't go fact-checking me on that one, because you might not find the truth, but praise the Lord. But that's what God is saying. You know, he's like, wait for it. God, he wants our expectation. Oh, I got a lot about expectation. Praise the Lord. Expectation. Hallelujah. Because it will surely come. And then he goes on to say, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. I love this scripture. But it's connected to the vision. Is your faith in the vision? Is your faith in what God's doing? Amen. And that's where we all need to be. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so, I don't know what's going on here. There we go. Praise the Lord. I probably, my dancing around probably hit something. Hallelujah. Froze it up. But so, So springing forth is kind of the phrase that came to me when I was praying about this service. When I was praying about, you know, I started praying, I was praying a few weeks ago about it. I really wanted the direction of God. I wanted some vision, cast some vision, praise the Lord. And, you know, that's what was coming to me, springing forth, that this year is a springing forth, amen. And I was so delighted to go to Pastor Michael's meetings, and what the Lord had spoke to him was that this year was going to be a year of easy receiving, hallelujah. And that just goes right along with springing forward, man, hallelujah. Because, you know, springing forward, praise the Lord, you want easy receiving when you're springing forward, hallelujah. Because, you know, if you then you got to go back and get stuff if you didn't. Well, you just want to grab it and go. You want to run with it, amen? And that's exactly what we're doing this year, praise the Lord. So this is what came to spring forth in faith with the expectation of exceeding every expectation. Spring forth in faith with the expectation of exceeding every expectation. This is what God wants us. This is wait for it. I expect you, Lord, to exceed what I'm expecting. And of course, this is scriptural and we'll see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to get our terms right. Amen. What is expectation? It is the belief that something will, as a matter of a fact, happen. No one is surprised in Western New York in February when it snows. Nobody's surprised that we get snow in November. Nobody's surprised. In fact, we're surprised if we have a white Christmas, right? Generally speaking, we know that there's going to be snow. It's expectation. You know it's going, what? No, you're expecting a white Christmas. Most people expect a white Christmas. Yeah, I don't expect a green Christmas. Who expects a green Christmas? Hallelujah. No, we expect a white Christmas. We expect that it's going to snow. That's what expectation is. And so we need to understand the expectation for the Lord is the same, that it's going to happen. We don't just sit around thinking, maybe it'll happen. If you do, you're a Christian out of faith. No, what God has said will happen. It will happen. That's expectation. Praise the Lord. This is what God wants for us. Amen? No one is surprised by the snow in Western New York. We shouldn't be surprised by what God does or what he's doing. Okay. Praise the Lord. So are you ready for some vision? Praise God. Hallelujah. Vision. Spring into 19. That's what I heard. Praise God. This year is a launching platform for the plan of God. These are the words that came to me. This year is a launching platform for the plan of God as it pertains to us. You understand that every church is going to be led maybe a little bit differently, and as a body we'll all be led together. You know what I mean? But this is a launching platform for the plan of God here. There's things that we have not attained yet. There's things that we have not gotten into yet. And it's not because God doesn't want to do them. It's because we haven't sprung forth into them yet. But this year, this was in my spirit. I wish I could portray it the way it was, but it was like a trampoline in my spirit, just like push it. You know what I mean? Spring it. That's what God was showing me. Amen? Praise the Lord. There is a harvest to be had in Corey and a harvest to be had in Mayville. These plans are connected together. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to always do the same things or that people will always go to both services, but they're connected. We're eternally interwoven. Amen? Do you realize that everybody who sowed into that or will sow into that work at all, every person that gets saved there, every person that gets born again, every life that gets changed there, every single one of them will be eternally tied to you. So if you put, think about this. If you put $1 towards that, just $1, if you had ever done that, put $1 towards that. To most people, a dollar is nothing, right? I mean, most people, a dollar, I mean, I'm always happy when I have a dollar, but a dollar, you know, I don't mind also wasting a dollar. Most people will waste a dollar. Glory to God. Well, if you put $1 in towards that or any other offering, whatever that offering is attached to, so are you now. You're attached to it eternally. Like there will be people, there'll probably be people in heaven that'll come up to you and say, you know, I'm thankful that you did this or that, whatever it was in your life. Because the things that, see, that's the thing, is we walk through life, we can't walk through life thinking that the things we do are of no consequence. Every decision that we make has consequence to it, good and bad. Amen? So if we're led to do good things, we have to understand that there's a more weight to that thing than just simply having done it. I was nice to this person today. No, maybe that you being nice to that person that day changed something in them eternally. Yeah, you don't understand it, but it could have been. Maybe there's something that you say to somebody that was led by the Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? There's all these little things. So we can't think that the little things don't matter. The little things do matter. But as we go into this year, we need to go into this year with an expectation of having our expectations exceeded. Yeah. Amen? And part of that is, to tell you quite honestly, if you look around, this church probably looks a little bit lighter than it was at the beginning of last year. And that's fine. Because what that is that's when you see that in a church, what that is it's people who won't run with the vision. They don't want to continue on with it. They're more concerned with their own stuff. They're more concerned with things that aren't the plan of God. And that's why you don't see them around anymore. Because when people are connected to the plan, wherever it is, they stay with it. Amen? You don't just, like this, listen, church is not a wishy, things with God are not as wishy-washy as the world is. In other words, it's not good one day and bad the next day. It's either good or it's bad. It's one of the two. Things with God are always like that. And so when you see that happen, and you'll see that, I've seen it happen probably dozens of times since we've been pastors, and it'll happen, you know, and I always say the same thing, too. I don't preach anything different than I always did. I haven't gone in some new way. I haven't started changing the direction of our church. I mean, you changed the service time, Pastor Jeff. But you know what I mean? I haven't changed the direction of the church. It's the same as it always was. I wasn't the one to change. Praise the Lord. Because I keep following the plan of God. And guess what? The plan of God doesn't change. Amen? And so as long as we're still in that plan of God, we're still going the same way. Amen? And so what you see sometimes is you see a lightning because, I'm not going to call it what Dr. Dufresne called it, but you see a lightning because, maybe I will, I don't know, we'll wait and see how good the service gets, but you'll see a lightning because some people will not, they will resist and resist and resist, and they can't go with, they can't go along with. Because people who resist the plan of God, all they do is they hold it back. They just hold it back. And so God will do things that will allow them to exit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sometimes it's good for them. The reason I say that is because if somebody won't run with the plan and they sit there resisting all the time, bad things can happen in their life. And so sometimes it's good for them that they do. It would have been better had they ran with the plan, but you understand. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. There is a harvest to be had in Corey, a harvest to be had in Mayville. We have to understand that. Does anyone confused about when I say harvest? A harvest of souls. You know what harvest means. It means you're gathering together. You're getting a bunch when you had none, right? If you harvest off of a, if you're a gardener, you plant a garden to have a harvest, right? That's what you do, and you intend to have a harvest. Well, we don't have church not to have a harvest. We intend on having a harvest, amen? I want to reap. I want to reap in people, but most importantly, what I want to reap is in the lives of people. I want to reap as a pastor. My number one goal is to see you come from a place where you weren't in the plan of God, or maybe were missing something in the plan of God, to a place where you're fully in, and that you're connected with God, and now you have a relationship with God that's unshakable. That no matter what I do, no matter what anyone else does, that connection can't be broken. See, that's what my goal is as a pastor. My goal is to make people get into that plan, not make them, but help people get into that plan, amen. So that they get a harvest on their own, amen. Hallelujah. We're gonna have a leaders meeting here, and some of you won't be there because you haven't been asked to lead a department. Don't feel bad about that. It's no big deal. I'm just addressing some things that I expect out of my leaders, amen. But one of those things is the ability, I shouldn't have to ever talk to a leader about running with the plan of God. I shouldn't have to deal with that. You know what I mean? That's one of the kinds of things that, and I'm not saying my leaders aren't, you know, I'm not, don't judge or misconstrue what I'm saying, but I'm just, we're encouraging, praise the Lord. It's important that we get to the place where we're connected to what God has us to do. That plan of God is for your own life. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11 is for your own life, but it is connected to other lives. It is. You can't stop that because that's the way God designed it. I'm not going to apologize for it because that's the way God designed it. That's the way he knew, saw fit for it to be, and that's the way that it's going to be most fit. That's the way it works best for us. So if it's not here, you get connected where you're connected. You understand? But the importance is that you get connected to that plan of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. You might say, well, you know, I'm dealing with this in my life. I'm dealing with that in my life. And this doesn't really answer those things. Listen, people, this answers all of that stuff. Because how you connect to the plan of God is how you will walk out every trial. It's how you will it's how you'll walk out every victory. It's how you will get every answer that you pray for. All of it is connected to the plan of God. If you haven't learned by now, everything in life from God is connected to his plan. It always is. It isn't separated from his plan. It's connected. You cannot be separate from God and then expect to have his blessing. Listen, a lot of us were raised in, if you were raised in any kind of denomination, you maybe came up in a church where you were just taught to pray for things and maybe they would happen, maybe they wouldn't. That's not the God we serve. And if you still think that, my God, I don't know what else I could say to get you to stop thinking that way. God wants to bless everybody, but he can't. He is bound by you and me. He is bound by what we do and what we don't do. He is bound. Jesus said, "You got to follow the plan if you want to be blessed. You got to speak to the mountain if you want it moved." Jesus said these things. Jesus said, "You have to do these. You have to walk these steps out because this is the way that it works." Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we need, and this is what I see for this church this year, we need to grow in the knowledge of God's will. It needs to become so much a part of us that the knowledge of God's will is just, it's like our marching orders. It's our call. It's what we know we got to do. It's the direction we're going, and we're not asking every week trying to figure out what it is. What's the purpose of my life? What's the purpose? No, you need to know what the purpose of your life is. We need to grow in the knowledge of God, amen, and of his will. Praise the Lord. By faith this year, we are going to become more fruitful in moving with God. My desire for this church is that when somebody much more spiritual than I comes into the pulpit, that they can flow in the things of God and everything God wants to do because the body is just going with it. Because they know the presence of God, because they know the direction of God. You understand what I mean? It's important. Do you understand that there's so much in services that can be missed because sometimes you have to just bring people up to speed? You just have to get people on board. Like if I have to constantly just get people on board, then what it's going to do is it's going to hinder us from going over into those things. Do you know what I mean? Like every little thing. Like there's always going to be a level of that. There's people that come in and, you know, like they'll pick apart every little thing you say. If you guys haven't figured this out, first of all, when you public speak, you're going to say something at some point that isn't right. I'm going to misspeak or say something that didn't sound quite right. Praise the Lord. The intent wasn't that thing. But you know that there are people that will hold that against you? There are people that will, they will say, listen, see that person messed up there. They said something, but you know what I mean? We just look at politics and the way that happens in the world all the time. For God's sakes, if you're on the news, you can't say one thing wrong because if you do, you are forever whatever they want to make you to be. Yeah. Amen? But then we know that's not the way it is. We all have moments where we say things we didn't quite mean, or we say things in a way that maybe could have been said better or something like that. You know what I mean? There's no script that we follow is what I'm saying. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we understand that we don't want to be resistant to everything that God is doing. We have to determine that, like, this is where I'm called to be. This is what I'm called to do. And because of that, I can follow these steps and these plans. But we have to understand that it's connected together. It's not connected, you know, it's not separate for our own lives. Amen? Somebody was just telling me about a woman that it was like a telemarketer or something he got talking to, and she was explaining to him how she didn't need church. She didn't have church anymore. She just seeks the Lord on her own and praise the Lord. And that's another one of those people who are just out there being squirrely. Praise the Lord. You know, God gave us church, so we need church. If I have to say nothing else, it's that God gave it to us, so we need it. God wouldn't give it to us if we didn't need it. God gave us pastors, we need pastors. God gave us the ministry offices, we need the ministry offices. God made us part of the body, guess what we need? The body. The body is not just me, it's not just you. It's all of us together, amen? We need parts of the body. So look at your brother and sister, maybe you don't like them. They're part of the body, praise the Lord. Sometimes we look at parts of our body and we don't like it, right? Hallelujah. But we don't just, some people go cut them off, but you know, it's not... Well, you know what I mean. Some people cut things off. They don't, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I don't like the nose that God gave me, so I'm going to make it differently. you know, something like that. And again, don't take it wrong. I mean, if somebody had an accident or something, they need a, you know, surgery or something to help fix something, well, fine, that's good, you know. But just because, you know, I don't know, praise the Lord. We don't got to inflate anything or deflate anything. Just let it be what it is. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that bad? Is that okay? Is that churchy? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God likes variety. We should too. Amen. Well, don't take that wrong. Hallelujah. There's some things that we just stick with what, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Too much candy can be bad for you. That's all I'm going to say. No, I'm just, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to grow in the knowledge of God's will. Praise the Lord. By faith, we are going to become more fruitful this year in the moving of God. And part of how we're going to do that, you know, we've got a lot. My wife and I both had a lot on our hearts about talking about speaking. We're going to be talking about speaking on how to do the right things and say, or speaking the right things is what I want to say. Saying the right things. We need to talk right. That is number one. That is one of the number one things that we have to understand, is that talking right. Now, I want to show you a few scriptures that illustrate a point about God's will and the importance of God's will. Amen. Why we pick God's will over our own. Turn with me to John 16:13. This isn't a scripture that will be unfamiliar to you. It's one I've used recently many times. Praise the Lord. It's one that's been on my heart a lot. And there is a lot in it. Praise the Lord. John 16:13. This is a scripture about the Holy Spirit. Jesus tells us about the Holy Spirit. He's telling us about the Holy Spirit, right? He says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. What does the Holy Spirit want to do? Guide us into all truth, right? That's what his job is. He wants to guide us into all truth. So what does God want us to know? The truth. He wants us to have the truth, amen? For he will not speak, before I go there, he will guide us. And again, I want to say this. Christians, just because the Spirit guides us does not mean that we go. We go when we choose to go. If he's guiding us in the truth and we refuse the truth, guess what happens? The opposite of what God intended to happen. Listen, this is very important, and this is a concept that Christians have a very hard time with. And I'm going to say it again. The truth is the truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't change because of your family situation. It doesn't change because of your desires. It doesn't change because of what you want. It doesn't change because of what you think God is saying to you. God does not change the truth. He doesn't alter the truth so it fits your situation. Well, you don't understand my... I don't need to understand your situation. All you need to understand is the truth. All you need to understand is the truth. The truth is the truth. You deceive yourself when you try to alter the truth to fit your situation. It doesn't change. When God said something is so, something is so. Praise the Lord. When he says that drunkenness is bad, he means drunkenness is bad. When he says that fornication is bad, he means fornication is bad. There is no in between. There is none. It's true. Don't try to change it. Well, you don't understand my situation. But God told me. God didn't tell you something different than what the Bible's telling you. God does not speak against his own word. That would make him a liar. Why do I get so fired up about this? Because people are constantly stepping in poo, and the reason they're stepping in it is because they won't watch for it. They just keep stepping in it, and then things happen in their lives. And listen, some of the fruit that happens in people's lives hasn't come to fruition yet. There's people that come to me all the time that want prayer for this or prayer for that, but they lived a lifetime of this. You can't change that with one prayer. I can't change that praying now because you're sorry because it's affecting you. I can't change it then. You can't change it. There are things that we can set in motion that we can't change. Do you understand that? That's why we preach the truth. So if people get the truth, they wait a minute, I got to stop this. It's important. There's a lot in that, amen? But you can't be forced. God won't force you into it, amen? Praise the Lord. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Praise the Lord. So he wants to guide us into all truth, and he wants to tell us things to come. Praise the Lord. But there's something sandwiched in the middle here that sometimes we just skip over. The Holy Spirit, one third of the Godhead. Praise the Lord. One third of heaven, as I said earlier. The Holy Spirit himself does not come to do his will. He comes to do the Father's will. The Holy Spirit. He will not speak on his own authority. He has authority, but he doesn't speak on his own authority. He tells you whatever he hears, he will speak. Who do you think he's hearing it from? It's not from the angels. He's hearing it from God the Father. God the Father has ordained everybody's life. He has ordained a plan for everybody's life to walk. Whether or not they walk in it is completely up to them. But we want to be people that walk in it, amen? And this is why it's so important that we understand these things, because the plan of God is so, it is imperative to, like all the things that we seek God for, all the questions that we want answered, when you've come to me and you've said, you know, this is happening in my life and I don't know, what God knows. I may not know, but God knows. And God has direction, he has help for everything, but you got to follow him. You got to go with him, amen? So we understand that the plan of God, the will of God, is very, 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 very important. Amen? Praise the Lord. So turn with me now to John 6. We're in John 16. John 6, 37. We're going to see something else interesting here. Praise God. Hallelujah. All that the Father gives me, Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, right? Will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Okay, so this is Jesus talking about people. Everyone that God has given to Jesus to be his, they can come to him. And Jesus won't cast them out. But you notice there's a part that plays on the part of the people. They have to choose to come to him. Amen? For I have come down from heaven. What's he say here? Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So now we see Jesus, the second third of heaven, the second third of the Godhead, praise the Lord, also saying, I have not come to do my own will, but of him who sent me. So what do we see here? Jesus, is there anybody who that you can think of that was better than Jesus? Nope. Jesus, the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, two-thirds of the Godhead are both here to do one thing, and that's the other third's will. So what is our marching orders? What is our call to do his will? To do his will for our lives. His will for our lives is not bad. It's not burdensome. It's not something that's like, oh, this isn't fun. You know, some people have made church into be this thing, but church isn't. I mean, you go to a Holy Ghost meeting. Go to one of Pastor Michael's Holy Ghost meetings. You'll find out what fun is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody once said that if you do church right, you don't need to go to the gym. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. Amen. Praise the Lord. I did all kinds of things that I didn't know I was capable of doing during those meetings. Praise the Lord. Including sitting on my shoulders in a chair with my feet out in front of me. Praise the Lord. It happened. I don't know how it happened, but it happened. There I was. I had a trouble. He didn't tell me how to get back. You know what I'm saying? I had to figure out how to get my butt back in the chair. Hallelujah. So we see that God, Jesus, and this is very important that we understand this. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, it was so important that they're illustrating things by saying this, that it's important that the plan of God gets recognized and gets known. We need to connect to that. We need to be fully connected to that. We need to stop being distracted by things that do not matter. Because when you stand before Jesus, you aren't going to say, well, you know, I had to pay my extra phone bill. So I had to work those extra hours, couldn't be in church. Nah, it doesn't work with Jesus. It ain't going to work. I couldn't hook up to the plan of God because I couldn't go out there and witness to people because I was busy doing my own thing. It isn't going to work with God. Praise the Lord. You know, I love it. Like, I think God has given us the stages of, you know, of course, we know that death working in the body isn't given by God, but the stages of life, he's given them to us to show us some things. You know, how many know my mind sometimes still thinks like I did when I was 20? But how many know I can't do what I did when I was 20? And I find that. I found that out Thursday. Hallelujah. I tried to do something that I did when I was younger, and it just didn't bode well for me. Amen. The next day was a little bit more restful than general. Praise the Lord, because that's what I had to do in order to recover from what I did the night before. Now, I'm not talking about something bad. I was talking about actually working, but I worked myself too hard. My body can't do the same things I could do when I was 18 years old or 20 years old. Amen. It just can't. So I have to think about that, you know. But the reason I say all this is because, you know what? Sometimes things that seem important to you in the minute, they won't be important to you over the long haul. You know, there's so many. I see this all the time, everywhere we go. So many families that are so busy that they don't even know what each other looks like barely anymore. And when they look back on their life, they're not going to say, "Oh, I'm so sure glad that we were busy." You'll never say that. Now, listen, I'm a busy person. We're busy people. We understand what it's like. Sometimes we pay for it. Amen. We did over the holiday season, didn't we? We were too busy on some things. We went, and we paid for it. Paid for it physically, tired, being overtired, you know, it's just stuff like that. Not feeling as good about life, you know, sometimes because you get so wrapped up. Listen, all that stuff comes out of just running your head off. All of it does. Depression, things like that. That'll all come because you got to learn to sit and spend time with the Lord. You know, one of the ultimate plans of God is to sit before God and just take some time for Him. I'm not going to ask how many hands, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. But I guarantee you that if I ask how many people in here just spent some time with the Lord, just spent some time quiet before the Lord this week, I bet you we wouldn't see many. Praise the Lord. Including here. You understand what I mean? So we have to watch it. We have to be this. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. These are things that we can get wrapped up in everything that seems important. Listen, the building program. I mean, it's important. It's important to God. But it's not more important than spending time with Him. It isn't. It isn't more important. And so sometimes I got to step back and say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. Sometimes this is going to wait just because I need to spend some time with God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Actually, my wife and I, we were supposed to go to breakfast on Saturday with another pastor couple, friends of ours. Amen. And Friday, I had to alter some things because I had been running too hard. And I still got into something else that I wasn't supposed to get into. And what I mean by, again, I'm not talking about sinful stuff. I'm just talking about stuff that I was supposed to go home and just rest. Because that's what I was supposed to do. Because I had been pushing it too hard on the other end. Amen? And I knew that. Now listen, I'm going to help you here with some stuff. I knew that I was supposed to rest, and I didn't. Saturday morning, I woke up, and I felt like absolute snarf. I mean, I thought like I was, I felt like my stomach was about to come out of my ears. I mean, it just wasn't good. I didn't actually throw up or anything like that even. But I laid in bed and I rested, and God had mercy on me, praise the Lord, and I felt better, good enough to be able to go to church last night and preach. But when I started the day off, it wasn't good because that's what happens. Sometimes you're like, oh, just go. No, sometimes you gotta stop and rest. Sometimes you got to take time and just be like, you know what? I'm just going to sit before the Lord and just, people won't believe me, but I'm telling you, it happened. It happened in Scripture. It happens whether you're doing good things or bad things. It doesn't matter. Good things or bad things don't matter. We have to understand what matters in life. Listen, I am not saying that you can't do things in your life. You can't do things with your family. If there's a family that likes to do things, it's certainly my family. Praise the Lord. But there are times where you have to realize that you're not supposed to. It's best just to sit back and do nothing. Sometimes you have to stop and be like, I'm just going to spend some time with the Lord. See, that's how we're designed to do. That stuff doesn't matter. It does not matter. It doesn't matter in the long run. Because if it takes you away from the presence of God, it will ruin your life. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And it'll affect your eternity too. Amen. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. So this year, by faith, we are going to be people who get more and deeper into the plan of God, into the direction of God. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. You here with me still?
Yes.
Haven't lost anyone yet? Praise the Lord. Nobody's jumping ship yet? Hallelujah. We want to go into what God has for us, and there's only one way to get there, and that's by doing it the way He said to do it. Remember, God's directions for us, you know, everything. Somewhere the devil has convinced people that the directions of God are burdensome, and that people sit there and they think, well, I hear this, I hear correction, and I don't like that. And it's like, well, no, like that wouldn't make any sense. Like when you're driving down the road and there's a sign that says detour, you might not like the fact that you have to go on a detour, but you're glad that there was a sign there telling you the bridge was no longer there, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way we got to look at correction from God. Like, okay, I might not want to go all the way around. I wasn't planning to go all the way around. But I'm glad there was a sign that told me that the bridge was out so I didn't die. Hallelujah. You know, that's exactly what the plan of God is. That's what church is. Don't get, if you're convicted by, see, this is what people, they think, if I say something convicting, they think that I'm after them. I'm not after anybody. For God's sakes, I love y'all. I'd like to tell y'all you're doing great and praise the Lord, pat you on the back, send you on your way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have any interest in preaching something that's hard for people to hear. What I do have interest in is people's lives being changed. Amen? Amen? And people who want their lives changed, listen. People who don't. Amen? Ephesians 1, 7. That's why I preach the word, not my own ideas. Because my own ideas, they every single time it led me to a bridge that was out. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's the truth. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Praise God. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Has anyone noticed the reoccurring theme here? In him. God's plan. In him. Praise the Lord. This country, I'll tell you, this is probably the hardest country in the world to preach in. And I'll tell you why. Because we have all been raised with this attitude that I can do whatever I want. I'm free. I'm free. I can do what I want. You can't tell me no. Yeah, you see people all the time. You know, it's going, listen, there are times when no is good. There's times when no isn't bad. You know, we can't just think of no as a negative thing all the time. If it's negative to you, it's because you look at it wrong. Amen? But, you know, people want, I love it, because if people want a democracy, they want to, well, I want to vote on whether or not we have service at 10 a.m. or 10:30. I didn't vote on it, praise the Lord. If I would do it, I don't know when I would do it if I had to pick. I mean, now it doesn't matter because we've just been doing it for so long. But it's like, yeah, I mean, it's not always convenient. Maybe I would have a moving service any day I want. Well, it works out better for me to have it on Monday at 4 o'clock, so that's when we're going to have service now. You know what I mean? But if we voted, that's the kind of stuff people do. They're like, well, I think because I'm doing all this stuff on the side that we need to do it here or need to do it here. But see, that's not the way it works. And the reason it doesn't work that way is because God, because really that makes a bunch of garbage people. Yeah, it does. When everybody has their own way and just gets to do whatever they want to do, it's garbage. It doesn't bless anybody. It just, you know, gets everybody, well, praise God, hallelujah. You know how you know this? Look at someone's kids who never tell them no. Look at people's kids that they don't direct their kids what to do. You know, so many people come to us and said over the years, they said, your kids, you know, generally speaking, they're very well behaved, they're polite and stuff like that. You know why they are? Because we made them that way. Yeah, because we don't take lip back. You don't tell me what we're going to do. Do you know every single time we take my kids out to eat, they thank us for it. We had family members that said to us once, they're like, they thank you for feeding them? You're darn right they thank us for feeding them. Hallelujah. Why? Because I could throw them some Cheerios, give them a pile of Cheerios on the floor, and that's what they could eat. They understand that we're doing something more for them. You're darn right they're going to thank us, and they're going to be polite, and they're going to hold the door. And I'll tell you what, glory to God. Praise the Lord. I don't let my kids, oh, glory. Here we go. Praise God. I don't let my kids ignore adults. If an adult says hi to my kid, I've done this many times. I remember Ezra, at first she didn't want to. She wanted to be shy. Kids want to be shy. You know, no, you talk to them because they said something to you. They address you, so you respond to them. That's what happens in my household. It ticks me off when a kid, you know, that's why we do this thing with the when we have meals and stuff. Let the adults go first. The kids haven't earned anything. What are they? They're a bunch of rugrats. They haven't earned anything. I love the kids. But listen, they haven't earned the place that some like Mr. Dodds back here has earned. You know what I'm saying? No, not to pull you out, but you know what? We love Mr. Dodds. You give him the way to go first. Amen? And I hope he takes a little extra time if he wants. I'm telling you the truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why? That's the way it should be, and we should be patient and allow and give people a place of honor.
Yes, that's right.
Give honor where honor is due. We don't sit there and allow, and that's why the world looks the way it does. Because kids are running around doing whatever they want, taking whatever they want. I saw a thing on the news where a parent was letting their kid draw on the back of the plane seat. They're perfectly normal to them. They didn't even stop them. But that's the kind of thing that our society is trying to do more and more and more. This is that feeding whatever you want to do. No, you know, sometimes this actually works against us because I really want, like, we'll say, well, where do you want to go for dinner? Like, everybody wants to refer to me because I'm dad. And I'm like, no, really, I need help figuring out what we want for dinner now. And they're like, no, whatever you want, Dad. Tell me what you want to eat. Because I just want to go get something to eat, but I don't know what I want. I want to know if maybe you want something that I want. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? But I'd rather have that than, I don't want to do that, so I'm just going to sit here and pout. Praise. Raising kids is a joy. It really is. But man, you got to raise them right, and you got to keep stuff. Don't you do that either. He's a good boy over here. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. You're a good boy to your mama, right? You take care of your mama. Always take care of your mama. That's something you'll never regret doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you got a good mama. And you're a good boy. I can see it all over you. Praise the Lord. You know why I can see it? He's sitting in the front row today. Praise the Lord. See that? See, he came to church, sitting in the front row. Praise the Lord. With a smile on his face too. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, everybody, listen, we'll pull people out. We'll embarrass the snot out of them. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what I'm trying to do. But you know, it's good to see kids in church. It's good to see, you know, kids loving the Lord and learning how to love the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, because this isn't something we necessarily know how to do by ourselves. Where was I? 110. Do I keep reading? Just don't want to get past my notes, you know. Praise the Lord. So God wants to bring everything together in Him. But we do see it's according to His pleasure. It's according to what He wanted. Amen. And believe me, He's designed us to work right under His pleasure. He's designed us to, you know, when we operate according to His will, that's like where we're the most blessed. Like, I'm serious. I can't, if I start spending a little bit of time away, oh my gosh. Wait, when did you tell me? You stopped me. Praise the Lord. But I start spending a little time away from God, and I start feeling it. I start getting depressed, and I go revert right back to who I was. Yeah. My wife will say it. She'll tell you. She knows when I'm not spending enough time with the Lord because I start acting like it, right? Praise the Lord. It doesn't. None of us are. Let me hurry up. Praise the Lord. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling is and what are the riches of the glory and the inheritance of the saints. He wants you to know what He has for you. And that's exactly what this year is. Amen? So what is God's will for Mayville? Does anyone ask? God's will for Mayville. Remember I spoke out amazing miracles in Mayville? We won't get it unless we contend for it. We won't get it unless we speak it. We won't get it unless we say yes to the Lord. If pastor's saying it, it ain't going to happen. If three people other than pastor saying it, it's not going to be amazing. We need all of us to come together and say, amazing miracles in Mayville. We're believing God for it. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. We had ministry time at the beginning. That's what pushed it back a little bit. Yeah. So. But amazing. It doesn't matter. Next week you get out a half hour early. So just amazing miracles in Mayville. Praise the Lord. God didn't speak that to me so we could just stick it under a bush and be like, oh, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. No! We've got to contend for the faith. In Jude, it says, earnestly contend for the faith once given to the saints. What is that faith? Amazing miracles! That's what God wants us to say. He wants us to experience Him. He wants us to, it wants to be undeniable. Undeniable that it's God. Well, sure, we talk about the goodness of God, but there's a lot more goodness to come. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to share this real quick with you, Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. Now to Him who by in consequence of and the action of His power, so by His power that is at work in us, everybody say in me, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above what we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. He wants to do more than what you expect. So let's expect that our expectations will be exceeded. Amen? Glory to God. Amazing miracles in Mayville. The Lord told Pastor Michael this is a season of easy receiving. and we will walk in it by faith. Amen. I'm going to close with this scripture. And I'm not going to make you turn there. Just write it down, but write it down because it's a good one. Amen. Ready? Acts 34:10. Lord brought this to me, and I'm just so thankful he did. This is what we're going to start the year on, thinking of this. Amen?
Yes.
Exodus 34:10. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Covenant is just like marriage. That's what a covenant is. What we know marriage is supposed to be. That's a covenant. It's not easily broken. It's not a bond that you can just give up on and just throw out when you want, don't want it anymore. It's not like Hollywood. No, marriage means something to God. That's what a covenant is for. Amen? Praise the Lord. I will make a covenant. God wants to make a covenant with us. Before all your people, I will do marvels such as not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. God wants to do awesome things. Listen, when God says awesome, it isn't like, dude, that's awesome. It's like, whoa. I mean, it's like, fall on your face kind of, God is good. I'll never do anything bad again. I mean, it's like, he's so amazing. I mean, like, out of this world amazing. We're talking about, like, selling tickets. I mean, we're talking more expensive than Madonna tickets. You know what I mean? We're talking like, this is big stuff, amazing. When God says amazing, it's amazing. God wants to do amazing miracles. He wants to do wonderful things in this people. This year, we're preparing ourselves for that. I'm not saying, we may see some of it. I'm not saying we won't. But what we do this year, I believe, will prepare us to be able to receive those things. And we'll start seeing them as we keep stepping out together. Amen. We're going to run together. We're going to run hard. We're going to run into the plan of God. Praise the Lord. Not into it like a tree. We're going to run in it, through it. Hallelujah. And we're going to pick it up as we go. Praise the Lord.